I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. 8 years ago today, the storm hit New Orleans. That's what people there still call it. The city hasn't had one as destructive as Hurricane Katrina since 2005, and numerous other disasters around the U.S. have simply added to the distance of the memory of Katrina. But for the people of New Orleans and southern Louisiana, the basic challenge is still there. It hasn't changed. How do you coexist with water when you're surrounded by it? And aside from New Orleanians themselves, one other group has taken a special interest, the Dutch.
The Dutch have been trying to solve these problems for a long time, and New Orleans has been a real laboratory to learn.
David Wagner, a New Orleans architect, is now taking cues from how the Netherlands has coped as a country below sea level. Wagner was one of those New Orleanians who reevaluated his life after Katrina and what he was doing.
Personal story is my father was an ex-congressman. He was about 20 years in the House. And after the storm, which depressed him, he was old and he's gone now. But he said to me, "What are you doing about it?" And I said, I'm not, what am I supposed to do? I'm not the congressman, you know, I'm just a citizen.
But very soon, Wagner got involved with an urban renewal committee for New Orleans. And then early the next year, he and U.S. Senator Mary Landrieu went on a fact-finding mission to the Netherlands. Now, I knew about the Great Flood of 1953 in the Netherlands, but for a country that's been built from reclaimed lakes over centuries, their Katrina goes back much further than 53.
What still lives in the Dutch mind is the flood of 1421, when 10,000 people died. At that time, of course, a much smaller population. And that is also one of the first stories you learn in Holland.
That's Connie Willems, a Dutch resident of New Orleans since the late 70s and the honorary consul for the Netherlands in New Orleans since 1989.
In the Netherlands, this struggle has been going on since at least the 11th century, where people started to get together, tax themselves, and build dikes.
Over the years, that system, the polder system, has defined the Netherlands both physically and politically. David Wagner got to see the results of those centuries of careful flood protection planning before he even landed at the airport in Amsterdam on his first visit in 2006.
If you fly into Schiphol, you know, if it's early morning coming in from America, right, you see the water glistening around, and then there's less water, but there's water still around the airport. So then you come into the airport, and, you know, Schiphol is this very welcoming airport and a center of commerce and hub of trade. So what do we learn from the Netherlands? We learn lots of things. It's about water, but it's also about what life-giving activities it has, what commerce-inducing activities it has.
In Holland, everything is really nicely organized. You can take a ruler, and every 5 feet there is a ditch for drainage.
They can be so organized partly because the Netherlands is a small country. It's protected from the North Sea by a multi-billion dollar sea surge barrier completed across 4 decades called the Delta Works, plus the country's vast series of canals and dikes. It all seems to work. But New Orleans presents a very different challenge. For example, compared with the Netherlands, New Orleans is like a tropical rainforest. David Wagner says many Dutch who visited the Crescent City are clearly surprised.
Well, the first sort of revelation they don't tell me, but I see in their face is, oh my goodness, you have that much water to manage? You know, this is not this benign climate we have here where it mists for 3 days and we can just sort of store it gently somewhere. No, it rains heavily here.
The other thing about the Dutch, climate change isn't a big debate there. The real issue is, what are people willing to pay to be protected from rising sea levels? Here's Connie Willems again.
The Netherlands has recently made a 200-year plan on trying to determine what, say, the sea level will be, how the rivers will run, etc. Now, they don't think that they will know what will happen in 200 years, but they focus on what could happen and extrapolate that and then determine how much money is needed every year. And yes, it is a national response, and it still is. People are willing to pay a lot of taxes in the Netherlands to be safe from flooding.
The New Orleans-Dutch exchange of ideas on water has been a formal process that began with a jumpstart from the Dutch embassy in Washington. That led to a series of visits and information exchanges known as Dutch dialogues, and that's evolved into the Living with Water Project in New Orleans. David Wagner reckons he's been to the Netherlands almost 30 times and is on the phone with his Dutch counterparts almost daily. Wagner's thinking is very Dutch these days, and he envisions a New Orleans where the challenge will be getting water and streets and people to be far more intimately connected than they are now, as he showed me on a recent afternoon drive around the city.
So if you look at this, this is a street that curves, and we look often for places that you can store water. Very difficult here, though, because of the oak trees.
For example, the medians along the many four-lane roads in New Orleans, what they call the neutral ground, those medians could feature canals.
If I begin thinking about a physical system, it's got a bunch of arteries in it, and it's got some pumps that move the water around. It's got space where the water can flow and hold, and then it's moved as it needs to be moved and only discharged when it has to be discharged. It's discharged into wetlands that need fresh water to restore themselves. So you're moving water always where it's useful. It's a wetter, greener city.
The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers has been shoring up defenses around New Orleans, but the big-picture long-term strategy for New Orleans still hasn't been fleshed out, not at the national level. Even at the local level, it's only really starting to get traction. The way Connie Willems sees it, that's a concern for the people of New Orleans.
They feel there is not enough money available, although a lot of money has been poured in. Various levy works, etc., but that not enough money is there to really protect Louisiana from another major disaster, hurricane or a river flood.
It took 8 years for the Dutch after the flood in 1953 to come up with a Delta Works program. So, you know, to turn a big boat around takes some time. I prefer to be optimistic about that, that we are making changes, that we have at least stopped the unquestioned, or we haven't really stopped, but we're trying to arrest the unquestioned paved pipe pump methodology.
Still, David Wagner knows what's at stake for his city. He knows that saving New Orleans is going to take massive investment. He also knows that the U.S. can't afford to just write off New Orleans, and neither can the rest of the world.
You see, New Orleans is really, in my mind, a test case for the rest of America. Beyond the United States, it's how on earth we're going to do something about this. Because what's going to happen in Vietnam? What's going to happen in Thailand? What's going to happen in Indonesia? You know, what's going to happen in Bangladesh? You don't want all these societies failing, you know.
David Wagner of the Living with Water Project in New Orleans. I also spoke with Connie Willems, the honorary Dutch consul in the city. You can see pictures of them in New Orleans, plus a view of the Delta Works in the Netherlands at theworld.org.